Don't wait. Save smarter with a 5.10% annual percentage yield 13-month certificate from Royal Credit Union. Royal's 5.10% 13-month certificate has no minimum opening balance and a locked-in rate for a guaranteed return on your investment. Open a 5.10% 13-month certificate at any Royal office or online at rcu.org/certificate510. Early withdrawal penalties could reduce earnings and principal. APY accurate as of 3/1/24. Insured by NCUA.
March Madness is here, and for us, that includes the big NHL trade deadline and boys' high school hockey tournament, among a dozen other hockey-related events. So, will the Wild make a move? Will they still even make the playoffs? And how can the Buttes fix the Class A, AA discourse? All that and more in this week's episode. As always, we're created by New Voice Studios, presented by SodaStick, brought to you by Talk North, Royal Credit Union, Livia, Jim Beam, and Grain Belt. This is Season 5, Episode 218. New drop alert! The Minnesota Wild celebrate and honor Marc-Andre Fleury's 1,000th game, and you can get in on the memorabilia action with an all-new exclusive SodaStick and Hockey Lodge t-shirt and hat drop. Grab your piece of history with a one-of-a-kind hat or tee that commemorates one of the greatest attendees in Wild and NHL history. Don't miss out on this fantastic collaboration between SodaStick and the Hockey Lodge.
At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition, like chanting, "Let's play hockey," prior to the start of each game, or playing the State of Hockey anthem after a Wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with a bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. 40% alcohol by volume. Copyright 2021. James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Claremont, Kentucky.
Hello, everybody. What's up? Bar Down Beauties, episode 218. I'm Jesse Pierce, writer for NHL.com. She's Kirsten Kroll, in-house arena host for your Minnesota Wild, PWHL Minnesota, WCHA. Am I missing anything that's coming up as of late? NCHC, I'm sure NCHC. You'll be taking care of too. Yes, all of that good stuff. It's March. March Madness, the very best way, hockey way.
I'm pacing myself, man. Yesterday was game one of 17 for me this month. Nice. And that's not including everything else going on. And then I'm slipping away for 5 full days. So no calls, no text. I'll be on a beach.
That's good. It'll be a good energizing boost before you have to get back into work, right?
It'll be so needed.
Yeah.
And then I come home and there's 4 games within a day and a half of returning.
I mean, my spring break is having the kids home, which is a goddamn nightmare. So just putting that out there.
Steadfast, my friend.
Thank you. Godspeed to everybody. March Madness yields, obviously, the state tournament, which happens this week. And Kirsten and I both with alma maters in the race. We love to see that. We're going to talk about more about the high school state tournament, the coveted tourney, if you will, coming up in our second segment. But Kirsten, it's also trade deadline week. The Minnesota Wild have 2 games before that March 8th deadline, exactly 20 games for the regular season. They still sit 8 points back of currently Nashville in that second wild card from the West. We're like, it's done, right? We're giving up wholeheartedly done for playoffs. Yes?
I'm not going to give a definitive answer on that because
we need definitive answers.
I'm not giving a definitive answer. They're way further. They're what? As of, after last night's win, where does that put them? They were 10 points back.
They're 8 points back.
It's still doable. It's still doable. I'm not giving a definitive answer. But last night as well was a game, it should not have been that close. So although it was a win, I wasn't impressed. If we didn't have Kirill Kaprizov on that team, we wouldn't have won. And that's embarrassing. The worst team in the league.
Yeah, no, they're not good. And both teams coming off a back-to-back. I mean, San Jose also had a back-to-back, and you could see that in the energy. That's exactly how I felt about last night's game. Again, we're recording this on a Monday, so last night's game being that 4-3 victory over the San Jose Sharks. I take that with how the rest of the season's going to go, because there are quote-unquote cupcake schedules coming up. Yes, you have St. Louis, and you've got Colorado kind of down the docket, but you face San Jose, I think, 2 more times. You've got Arizona this week. I mean, teams that are beatable on paper. And yes, you could go yada yada any given, but these are games that Minnesota, you're right, should be winning handily. The biggest thing I will take away from it, while the Minnesota Wild might not be back, they might never have been back, even when we claimed them to be, Kirill Kaprizov 110% back. He scores his third hat trick of the season, has 300 career points, sets a franchise record as he does so in record time. Kirsten, we had a lot of questions about Kirill Kaprizov, and understandably. I mean, we had said, is he really the superstar that you need him to be? Is he injured? Is he not? There was just a lot of swirling question marks around Kirill this year. Are you surprised that he has rebounded like he has? And I say that by way of he currently has 29 goals this year, 37 assists in just 55 games. So that's 66 points in 55 games, because again, there was a long stretch where Kirill wasn't himself, but now he's rebounded even better than I probably would have expected him to.
The criticism through the first half of the season was definitely deserved, because he was not playing at the caliber, near the caliber we would expect him to, and what we have seen from him in the past. We always knew he was capable of doing more. I'm not surprised to have seen this. I'm surprised, I guess, with how long it took to kind of really see this from him. But the way, especially in San Jose, not in San Jose, against San Jose, the way he put the team quite literally on his back, very impressive. Love to see it. This is the time of the year, especially when you need your star players to really step up. And he's like, I'll do it my damn self. And yeah, he literally did yesterday.
You could see that from his first couple shifts. Like, there was just that extra emphasis. And that's what's always made Kirill really special to me, is not only his elite skill, and I think you really saw that shooting accuracy he has. Like, my God, those shots against San Jose last night were not only needed, but they were so pretty. You forget about that sometimes because he does so many other things well. He skates so well, but he outworks everybody. I mean, he is that grinding type of superstar that you don't see very often. And I know I've talked about that so much, but I think that can't be reiterated enough. And not to mention, he has this competitive drive. I mean, he's not a superstar that is going to not be the first on the ice or last off on the ice. He has this hunger and drive to win, which is why I think it's fair conversation to say how frustrating I'm sure this season is for him right now, you know, to see not only the slow start by him, but by the entire team, and to see that inconsistency. And you're mm-hmm. right. He finally just kind of said, F it. I'll do this. We'll help get a win here. We won't completely bury ourselves, because a loss for sure would have been that nail in the coffin. It would have been one more nail in the coffin, because I'm like halfway closed on the coffin, I think. I like
you,
that
liturgy. You tell me I need a decision, you need a decision.
It's halfway closed.
And I have some words I would like to publicly air out with you on the podcast later.
Oh, yes.
And nothing personal. Just
it felt personal.
And your indecisiveness. I can't. Like, you need to pick a lane.
I can't pick lanes.
Stay in it.
I like to move all over the place.
Yeah, we're done. We're done with that. We're picking a lane. And we're staying in the lane.
I'm picking the lane that I'm displeased with Filip Gustavsson. It's kind of funny that the goaltenders performed really well when I was very harshly critical of them, right? Not really well, but they certainly have always outperformed my criticisms. And I love that. I like to think that maybe that was me getting into their heads. Filip Gustavsson last night. Yes, it's hard when you don't see a lot of puck, and he saw 15 shots. And again, I'm not trying to just harp on last night's game, because I've seen this a couple times now. Filip Gustavsson has not quite made a save, hasn't saved a game this year. And we've talked about that again. He is one of the many inconsistent players situations for this inconsistent Minnesota Wild team. But I'm starting to have concerns and starting to have questions, because the goals that he was letting in last night should have been stopped. Yes, they're on the rush, but some of those are just kind of lobbed in there, right? They weren't exactly hard shots. I mean, Mikael Granlund's, I think, was maybe a little bit more difficult, but the other two coming down Nico Sturm, pretty soft. Where's your concern with Gus now? And do you want to see more of Fleury on the final stretch, especially considering the circumstances around him, whether it's his final season or not? Do you want to see more Marc-Andre Fleury? I do, because I think I have more belief in him. And I know we talked about that last week, but I still stand in that.
I'd rather see Fleury, because yes, I agree. I trust him more night in, night out than I do Gus. With Gus, very inconsistent all season. We know he'd been battling injury. We had talked about that prior as well. But I thought he was getting back kind of more that upward trajectory. He was playing better. Last night was discouraging to see.
Yeah, it was. Like, it makes me wonder, and I'd love to hear your take, and I'll give mine too. Was the 3-year extension a mistake?
I'm not ready to say it was a mistake, but I was very skeptical even from the beginning when it was signed. Because yes, you see him have, when you look at last season, such a good year, deserving of getting a contract, but for the money he got, the contract he did receive, I was skeptical because I was like, we only have a 1 year look at what he has done. Is it going to be able to be sustainable heading in? And this year, it's just been so up and down. I have concerns.
Yeah. And it's funny because I know going back to the beginning of the year when I did think the goalies were okay, I kind of let them off the hook because I think the defense was performing so abominably. Yeah. The defense has really stepped up. The defense has looked okay, in my opinion. I think you saw Brock Faber have one of his worst games last night. Mm-hmm. He got beat a couple times, and you know that's going to happen. He's still a rookie defenseman, and I never want to negate that and all that he has done this year. He's allowed to have a couple off games as the season wanes on, but the defense has been noticeably better. So for Gustafson to continue to perform like that, it's very evident, like, okay, this is the problem. You're right, Kirsten, I'm on the side of you where I don't think it was a mistake. 3 years still to me seems very long, all things considered. Especially when you could go out and get a goalie. My concern, I guess, would be if you would overpay for a goalie on the free agency market, right? Because that tends to happen. But yeah, it's just very underwhelming. Filip Gustavsson's been very underwhelming to me this year.
Yeah, just a very small sample size. I still trust him more than a lot of goaltenders in the league, but just been disappointed lately. I also want to take a second to talk about defense. We brought it up. Because last night I was paying a lot closer attention to the defense than I normally do.
Is it because there were seven out there instead of just six?
What'd you say?
Is it because they were playing 11 and seven, so there were seven defensemen out there instead of just
six? I mean, that could have been it. That could have been it. I don't know. But no, I noticed last night, I think Brock Faber, he's still fantastic, still way exceeded expectations all year long. So I'm not discrediting how well he has been. He's still one of the top defensemen on the team. But lately, he's kind of been just, I don't know if it's how much longer this season is than the college season, because let us not forget, he is just a rookie coming out of a college career. Mm-hmm. And there is something to be said about the grind once you get this late in the season. And especially, too, when he was heavily relied on to play like 30 minutes a night all the time. But lately, he's been falling off just a little bit. Last night, I was disappointed to kind of see how things fell out for him. Jake Middleton a little bit as well. But I also want to give credit where credit's due. John Merrill has been playing so much better lately. So we've been critical of him. A lot of people have been critical of him, but I think a moment needs to be taken to just realize how many strides he has taken as of late to be a better defenseman on this team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. With as far as Faber goes, I think you see that a lot in rookies, because you're right. It's a new adjustment. I think that's just kind of part of it. And when you're a rookie like Brock has taken on those minutes, those heavy minutes against the top lines, I think that's natural. So I'd agree. It's been a bummer, I guess, to watch, because you're like, no, you wanted him to just never have a hiccup at all in a season. And I think you're starting to see that, like, oh, shoot, this is kind of
human.
Yes, exactly. So I think that's also, but you're right. We do need to give credit to John Merrill, who has been playing much, much better than he was. That's what I'm going to say with it. I think there's still another level possibly, but I also, my concern, I guess, with John Merrill is there isn't another level, right? Like, maybe this is just kind of what you get, which again, for a third pair, that should be fine. But part of me now, especially if, you know, the Minnesota Wild brass are saying, hey, this is kind of where we're at, we're probably not going to get into the playoffs, then I want to see some of those younger guys come up. I want to see Carson Lambos. I want to see maybe some of those moves made as you can make them. You know, and I don't know, I'm curious, because I think John Merrill's kind of where he's at, which is fine. It's been good. I think that's a testament to Declan Chisholm, but I'd rather see more Mermis or see more, you know, something a little different. But you're right, he's been playing better.
I've been underwhelmed by Mermis lately, if I'm going to be honest.
I've never been like either way on
Merrill over Mermis.
Interesting. Just the vibes?
No, I think Merrill's been playing better.
That's fair. I could see that. I did want to go back to Filip Gustavsson and just to re-emphasize our kind of underwhelmsness with him. 3.30 goals against average, 0.892 save percentage in 37 games. He's got 17 wins and 2 shutouts. Again, a lackluster season this year comparatively, whereas last year it was just 2.1 goals against with a 0.931 save percentage. And that was, however, in 39 games. So you can see the differences with Gus, and this is why maybe that 3 year seems odd, is he's not able to handle the workload that comes with being a top guy. So yes, the good news is Jesper Velsted will likely be able to do that come next year. Or are you going to go into the year with two goalies that can't be a true number one? And I guess I don't know if there is a true number one in goaltending anymore. I do think it's probably more of a 1A, 1B situation on most teams.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it needs to be a 1A, 1B situation when you take a look at it. Like, it's a long season. It's a long season.
It's a long
season. I'm putting the emphasis on that because I'm sitting here, start of March, thinking of all that lies ahead. And I'm like, we're still in it.
Long season. We are still in it. Some players might not still be in it for the Minnesota Wild, however, because Bill Guerin has some decisions to make. He has some big decisions to make. Again, 8 points back. I think you sell what you can and recoup what you can. Brandon Duhame's name continues to get floated around as a guy. And the exciting thing is you could go to a cup contending team. This is the point in time where I don't think a trade is necessarily going to yield a bad position for the Minnesota Wild, right? I think it's going to put those players in a better position to go to a contending team because that's who's going to pay the most for anybody you want. You know, another name that was tossed out my way yesterday, Jake Middleton. How would you feel about... Immediate no. What's the hold on Jake Middleton? He has no protection.
We love him.
No protection, and he's an unrestricted free agent in 25-26.
Well, I think he would stay in Minnesota. He would re-sign in Minnesota, whereas Brandon Duhame, I don't think he will. Brandon Duhame, I think, I'm pivoting a second. I promise it will come back around. Brandon Duhame will be an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season. His name being thrown around because we're going to lose him one way or the other. We should lose him before the trade deadline so we can get something for him. So when Brandon Duhame is traded at the deadline, no one should be shocked. That would just be a smart thing to do on Bill Guerin's end. Circling back to Jake Middleton, one, the vibes, immaculate. Defensive player, he's one of the stronger defensive players on our team. Jake Middleton, a national treasure, protect him at all costs. No, we are keeping him. We are not losing him. No.
I could see a call coming about it. $2.45 million salary versus Duhame, which I think is just 1.1.
How many t-shirts is he going to bring with him the next place he goes? Like, no, I'm concerned. No, we need to keep him.
I mean, I wouldn't be mad if they kept him, but I guess I don't know how I would feel if they moved on from him too. You know, if
I would
for the
be
right
so
return.
Upset. I'd be mad.
There's no package. There's no deal that you would be like, okay, yes, like a first rounder.
Okay. No, I don't care.
I mean, Jake Middleton for a first rounder sounds like a hell of a steal.
Okay. Are we going to get a defenseman first round? That's what we would need if we get rid of him. We can't keep loading up our offense and having our defense suffer.
Put Alex Galagoski.
We saw the struggle that caused at the start of this season. Then we lost Spurgeon for the rest of this year. Jonas Brodin, when he broke his wrist, like, we've seen the defensive struggles. If we get rid of a defenseman, we need to go all in on the draft and take a high defenseman.
Yeah, could do that. What about Vinny Lattery? Do you keep Vinny Lattery? He's another unprotected asset.
I mean, I've been impressed with Vinny Lattery, so I guess he is a player. I think he could be replaceable, but I have liked him this season as well. So I don't know, give or take, like, I guess I'd be indifferent either way.
I think you keep Vinny. He's cheap. He's quick. I know John Hines has really been proud of him, and he's Lou Nanny's grandkid, so you got to love that. Speaking of Lou Nanny,
hockey is a business, Jesse.
You just didn't want to keep, you want to keep Jake Middleton for the vibes.
Okay, the vibes are important. That's why we picked up Ryan Reeves last season. Am I wrong? That's important.
Is it weird that I, you know, as much as I loved Ryan Reeves here, I watching him on another, I don't like him. Like, sometimes I don't like the attitude. Like, I'm just like, God. Oh, gross. Yeah, it's kind of obnoxious.
I loved Ryan Reeves here, but I think that's why everyone wants him on his team, because everyone dislikes him once he's not on your team.
Yeah, like, suddenly his, like, antics and comments, like, they're not cheeky and fun anymore now that he's not in the Wild locker room. Like,
exactly.
I don't know. I'm just kind of like,
agreed.
Yeah,
agreed.
Kind of obnoxious. Okay, interesting. I want to toss those names out. I want you guys to let me know what you think. Jake Middleton, is that a thing that you're okay with? Vinny Lattery, is that a thing? Names that haven't been discussed. Again, I am curious to see. I feel like Brandon Duhame does love it here, though. Like, I think he just loves
this team, because he's kind of looked a little like sad puppy a little bit.
I think he loves the guys. I wouldn't necessarily say he loves Minnesota, though. Like, he loves the team. I'm not convinced Minnesota is where he wants to end up.
Yeah.
And you know, does that make sense?
You can all be friends still. The San Jose Minnesota hallway last night postgame was just jam packed, littered with buddies catching up with buddies. It was quite the sight to be seen. I heard some hilarious conversations over there. But I mentioned Lou Nanny because we are going to talk state tournament. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, all about the tourney, baby. Stay tuned.
Hey guys, Jesse Pierce here for Livia Weight Control Centers. Who is ready to spring into the warm weather? It's been beautiful outside. I know I've been enjoying it. Hopefully you have too, and it's only going to get better. Spring ready the Livia way and lose up to 10 pounds in your first 2 weeks. When you join Livia, you'll receive a personalized and doctor-recommended program tailored to your unique goals and lifestyle. Livia's amazing team of registered dietitians and nutritionists will guide you every step of the way, providing you with the tools, support, and motivation that you need to succeed. If you join Livia today, you can get 3 months absolutely free. I've started my journey a couple months ago, and I have loved it. And you know what? There's a new option that you can also include with your nutritional program, and that's Livia Medical. I've been on Livia Medical for the past 2 weeks to help me break down those biological barriers that can make losing weight so hard. It's helped accelerate my weight loss. I have lost 4 pounds in just 2 weeks with the added Livia Medical to my nutritional program. It works for me. It certainly can work for you. Don't forget to get Livia a call at 855-GO-LIVIA or visit Livia.com. Again, first 3 months, absolutely free. Let them know Jesse Pierce and the Bar Down Beauty sent you.
All right, we're back. It is tourney time, as everybody knows here in Minnesota. It is a state holiday starting Wednesday, quarterfinals for Class A, moving all the way up until the weekend championship Saturday at XL Energy Center. It is the best, Kirsten. First of all, can you give me your best, like, hi, mom, hair flip for those that are watching? Because obviously the hair is as important as the on-ice performances when it comes to the tourney.
I need some more room, I think, for this. I didn't have time to practice, so we're all going to experience this together for the first time. Hey, mom.
That was way better than I was going to do. I was just going to all right, now I gotta bring my A game. You're right. I need some more space here.
Hey, mom.
I don't know why you can't wink out weird.
F me eyes to your mom. That was creepy, Jesse.
If I had a mustache, I would definitely do the mustache thing too. Feel it up.
Those kids can't grow a mustache.
There's plenty of kids that can grow the mustache.
Not well.
Mm. They can do it a little bit. Super excited. We will be at the expo. Kirsten is covering WCHA this weekend, but I think we'll be bebopping around, saying hi to some people, shaking hands, kissing babies, all that good stuff, only if you want us to. But let's talk about the tournament. First of all, congratulations to Rochester Century / John Marshall. You are a John Marshall Rockets, right?
Correct.
How does it feel for them to be making the double A tourney doozy of a matchup to kick things off? With their quarterfinal against Chanhassen, who upended the undefeated Minnetonka and is coming in at the number 2 seed for the AA. But how do you feel?
Southeast Minnesota's on the rise. Dodge County Wildcats for girls hockey. We saw them in the girls' state. So that was huge. Program on the rise. And then Rochester Century, John Marshall. First time in 15 years Rochester's been represented at the state tournament, so that's just huge in and of itself. So everyone who has criticized Southeast Minnesota saying it's not a hockey area, put some respect on Southeast Minnesota's name, because they're coming.
How do you think they're going to fare against Chan? And then looking at the rest of AA, you've got to start things off Creighton versus Centennial, Elk River versus Edina, who is the number 1 seed, and then Grand Rapids versus White Bear Lake, number 4, who has never in its history won a first round at the state tournament.
As far as Rochester Century, John Marshall, I'm just going to call him Rochester.
Can we just call him Rochester? I didn't know that was disrespectful.
Okay. Forget about Rochester Mayo until they join the Alliance and make one full team. Yeah. That's a whole other discussion for another time. But until it becomes just one Rochester team, we're just going to keep calling it Rochester. Mm. I think that it's going to be tough, right? It's going to be tough. A lot of these teams, they don't get to play. Metro schools are good. It's a different beast in the Metro. And as far as Rochester, I think they'll put up a fight, but it's going to be tough.
I don't want to say like just making the state tournament was a big accomplishment in and of itself, but it is huge, like taking big strides forward for the future and years to come. But it's going to be hard. But I think they'll put up a fight.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. I was excited. Chan Hassan had a really good season again. Huge victory over Minnetonka. But they're a very good team, as well as they tend to be that whole section that Tonka and Eden Prairie and all those guys were in. Something to be heard. Section A, Class A, my little class. You've got New Ulm versus War Road to kick things off on Wednesday with their quarterfinals. Northfield versus St. Cloud Cathedral. Alexandria versus Hermantown, who's the number one. And then Orono versus Matomidi Zephyrs. The Zephs actually didn't have that great of a year. They play a very heavy AA schedule, which is naturally going to lead me to the question of A versus AA, Kirsten. If you could fix the problems of high school hockey in the state, what would you start with? Now, they have done a bunch of different iterations of the state tournament. They had public versus private. People have discussed outstate versus in-state. The big theory, of course, is who's A and who is AA. Now, everybody wants Hermantown to move up. They also now want Matomidi and Orono to move up as well. Now, Class A was originally designed in order, or based upon school enrollment size. So obviously Hermantown, a much smaller enrollment size. Matomidi, a smaller enrollment size than your White Bears, your Stillwaters, yada, yada. Hill Murray could be argued that they have a small enrollment size. However, they play up at AA. St. Thomas, same situation. Yes, those are private schools. So that brings in a whole slew of other things. But because everybody loves to get so heated come March, come section finals, what would you do to solve the problem? Do you have a solution for the problem?
I don't think people are ready for this conversation. And it's very, it's a very delicate conversation. And I am hesitant to make any comments on it because I don't want to sound like I'm talking out of my ass, because I haven't. I mean, it's just the typical speculations that people say. So I'm hesitant to say anything about that. But also, Hermantown needs to move up. Like, it's time. Mm-hmm. It's time.
You've won enough. And you know what? I used to defend this because Matomidi started getting swished around in the conversation because they've seen some success as of late. I mean, when I was there, they were awful. And but they had to go through St. Thomas and Hill Murray to even get anywhere, and that was just never going to happen. But I read a nice piece, which actually I guess was published last year, by Neil Pionk's dad, Scott, who is a Hermantown guy. And he had brought up the contrarian to the class size is open enrollment, right? Matomidi has open enrollment. Hermantown has open enrollment. So you see kids leaving Denfeld or, you know, what have you, to go be at Matomidi. Yes, there's a smaller size, but you're not necessarily diluting the pool. It's still very plump when you have kids relocating, right?
Open enrollment brings some interesting conversations along
exactly
with it. So I'm tiptoeing along the lines of what I wanted to say, if you get my gist of
yes,
where I'm
but
going.
I think that's the big point, right? Like, well, if it was just kids from Matomidi, then certainly there's no way. Like, if you were actually living in Matomidi, and now this doesn't just, it's not secluded to A. Minnetonka had a bunch of kids that I don't know if they had real Minnetonka addresses, right? Like, it's happening. It's the way that high school sports have worked, especially when it comes to hockey, unfortunately. I mean, there's still a very strong pride for community-based model and for playing for your team from kid on up. But it definitely, it makes you wonder, like, what the solution would be, you know what I mean?
For
like,
sure.
it's I don't have an answer, unfortunately. I want Matomidi to stay at A. I don't think they're ready to go to AA, but that's just me. Like, I enjoy seeing them find success at A. I don't think they're the Hermantown where they're just coming in and they're going to absolutely destroy everybody. However, they do play a very hefty AA schedule, so maybe they would yield well there. I don't know. I don't know the answer, but I would love to hear what you guys think.
I'm going to dive back into
this.
Go in.
I think it's
because since you brought it up, now I'm going to really go in. Because now I'm just at the point too. I don't care. You need to crack down on the students who don't even live in the area going and playing for other teams. I'm going to flat out put that. It's like tiptoeing the line of, like, I'm not saying recruiting.
Right.
But kids want to go where they're going to win. I totally understand that. But you need to stay where you are. It's an unfair advantage when you have kids crossing the lines into other school territory, just being like, well, this is a better program, better coach, I want to go play here. And then they're doing that. So this is also a big criticism that I have when you look at Southeast Minnesota. And I talk about Rochester just being one Rochester team, because I got some criticism from people in my comments when I like replied to somebody saying that. They're like, That's unfair. It's a city of 120,000 people, blah, blah, blah. But you don't have those kids able to go say, I want to go play for Minnetonka, like you had mentioned. Yeah. Like, it is one area. It is very different. Very, very, very different. Mm-hmm. So I think you need to find a way to crack down on that. That needs to come to an end.
Well, I mean, it feels it's the private, right? Like, you can choose to go to a private school, but you're paying to go to the private school, whatever, and whatnot. And I think, I'll be honest, obviously, I'm open enrolling my kids in Matamidi, but that's because of the education. I don't know if they're going to be good. They might suck at sports, for all I know. I'm not sending them there to go play hockey by any stretch. In fact, White Bear would probably be a better hockey organization, if we're being honest. You know, I think there are obviously circumstances like that. But yeah, when you are deliberately choosing to go and put your kid in a district because you want them to play that sport and you want to build this pseudo superstar team, it's kind of, it gives you the ick a little bit, right? Like, that's not how it's supposed to be. You go back to Mighty Ducks. Very,
yeah. And it's also very high school football in Texas.
Yes. Which, you know, argument's sake, that's what hockey is here, right?
That is what hockey is. Yes.
It's very much Adam Banks is in the District 5, right? He's not, he's with the Ducks. That's where he's supposed to be. He's not with the elite. So it does. It's, I don't think there'll ever be an answer. And I think the way the high school league handles a lot of these things can be very questionable. I don't think they do a very good job just from top to bottom. I mean, talk about fumbling the ball at the 1 yard line when you have section championships that are sold out in minutes and people around, like, move the venue, just move. Nobody should have, and quote unquote, nobody should have home ice. Hill Murray always gets home ice when they're at Aldrich, which seems kind of unfair as well. Like, there should not be a home ice advantage to anything. But yeah, I'm excited. Either way, I am excited for the training. Obviously, super excited for my Zephs, excited for your Rochester squad. And I am excited. White Bear was always my second team when I was in high school because they actually were good at hockey. So I'd watch them often. And I'm excited to see if the curses lift. I think it's been like 19 first round exits. They make it. If they beat Hill Murray, I always joked with my friends that you just wasted a spot because you're going to lose in the first round anyway. And
hey,
I do
the
like
Toronto Maple Leafs made it out of the first round last year. Anything's possible.
Anything's possible. Go Bears. We'll see. We'll see. It's just the orange. That's going to be a very orange game. That's an 8 o'clock game. And it's Grand Rapids orange versus White Bear orange. And I think Rapids is like black and orange as well. So I'm curious, how are those students going to do? Because that's really what the tournament's all about, is what the students can make of the event. I don't love the Hawaiian themes. Like, I'd rather see school colors, right?
I don't. Or like the American theme. Can we bookmark this conversation? Because I want to give it its time. I hate theme nights in sports. I hate them. Like, the whiteouts, I hate. The everyone please wear red to the game, hate it. Like, when I, like, and then you go into Hawaiian, hunting, all that. I hate all of it.
I don't mind the whiteouts. I don't mind, like, I think those can be kind of cool. I don't, I don't love the Hawaiian theme night because it doesn't have anything to do with the sport that's happening. I get it because it's probably like it unifies your little subsect of students, right? Like, hey, we're all going to look the same so people know that we're cheering for this. But then that's why I like the colors, right? Then, like, all right, so gold out for Matamidi. Like, go, everyone wear yellow. Like, y'all have yellow.
See, I don't like that either. I want to wear what I have. I want to wear my whatever it is sporting team. It's complicating it when you're like, everyone wear this one color. Well, what if I don't have, what if I have 50 items of my team except for that one? That happened to me at the Gophers homecoming. Not, it wasn't homecoming. That happened to me at the Gophers home opener this year when they played Nebraska. They were like, everyone, it's a gold out. Well, I had a maroon t-shirt. So I went in my maroon t-shirt and everyone's like, didn't you get the memo? And I was like, yeah, I did. And I don't care. F your memo. Like, I want to wear what I have.
Did they let you in or did they turn you around? Like, you got to get out of here.
No, it was fine. I had great seats. I had a lot of fun, but I was annoyed. It's like, I'm going to wear what I want to wear.
See, I'm a sucker for theme nights. I love dressing up. I am. You know me. If it gives me an excuse to go buy a new shirt, then, like, hell yeah, I'm in.
No. I'm very passionate about this subject.
I
eliminate theme
night. I enjoy that. I mean, for 10:43 on a Monday morning, we're fired up. But you know what?
Doesn't take much for me.
It makes sense. I don't totally disagree, but I don't mind. I like them. I like the, again, only the colors. I don't like the silly, the, it's funny. I like the dress up on like party nights, but like student sections, I don't like the themes. I just don't like it. I don't like the America theme and I don't like the Hawaiian theme. Bothers me. But the theme, as we do each and every episode, wild week ahead. We're going to circle back one more time to your Minnesota Wild. Hurston. They are on the road for back-to-backs against Arizona and Colorado. That sounds like a nightmare. And then they come back to play the Nashville Predators on Sunday at home, 2:30, and then have another home game next Tuesday against the Coyotes. Let's include that one too. Why not? So how do you think they're going to do in this four-game stretch of two home, two away?
2-2. I think you take the games against Arizona, Nashville, Colorado. It's not going to happen. It's a pipe dream at this point. I've been less than impressed when they play playoff caliber teams.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go 1-3-0 because they're going to drop one game to Arizona, because why not?
I was on the fence with that.
Yeah, it just seems suitable. Watch, they're probably going to win them all and be like, we're still in the hunt.
They might. They might. Honestly, I hope they do. I want to win.
Yeah. As we get closer, as we talk about, like, it's playoffs. Everybody does enjoy going to the playoffs, though, you know?
I want to win.
I get paid for more games that they play. It's a little longer.
Get to hang out with my friends.
Hang out with our friends.
I get fed.
See, I don't get any of that, but, like, I get to be there, which is nice.
There's a towel.
Food up there for you. That's true. I mean, it was chips and dip last night, which I love me the chips and dip. Have you experienced?
I'm not in the press box.
I didn't know if you've ever experienced. They have it sometimes for like other events too. It's like
I'm never up there.
Well, I see you up there sometimes. Sneak up there one day.
If I forget,
I'll bring some down.
If I need new batteries in a hurry, sometimes I'll run back up there.
I'll bring you some, but it's a simple kettle chip with, they've got three different dips. I think one's like an onion, one's a garlic, and I don't know what the other one is, but they're so good.
Don't forget about our friends down at 123. It's all
yeah. Awesome. So good. I'll bring you next time they got something good.
Thank you. I'll hook you up.
You're welcome. That's what I'll do for you. What we're going to do for you guys is we're going to end this episode. And that's going to do it for this week. Again, shout out to Talk North, Livia, Soda Stick, Grain Belt, Royal Credit Union, and Jim Beam. As always, you guys as well, appreciate every single one of you. Like I said, you'll see us buzzing around probably at the tournament, at least me, while Kirsten's off working. I call that work though, right? Buzzing around's working, kind of.
It depends.
I'm going to sneeze real quick, so hold. Phew! That was real. That's how my sneeze is.
What was that? You sounded.
I know. We survived. We made it through. I knew it was coming. I was going to hold it, but didn't quite make it. But that's going to close us out. Enjoy that. Enjoy the rest of your week. And stay tuned. If there are trades, we will let you know. So make sure you're following all of our social media, subscribing, rating, sharing, all the good stuff. We appreciate you. Have a good rest of your week. Bye.